T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is Bears Monday. The Score guys react to the Bears' win over Carolina. Get analysis from our team of Bears experts and take your calls. There's no Monday like a Bears Monday. All day today, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Live from the Hyundai Studios. A radio.com sports station. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric.
Hello.
Hub Arkish.
His expertise in football is second to none.
670 The Score's senior football expert.
You're talking to one of the great techno boobs of all time.
Executive editor of Pro Football Weekly.
Hey, Hub, I got a pretty simple question for you. Is Leonard Fournette still an elite NFL running back?
You know, Rob, he never was.
Shaw media analyst and sideline reporter for Westwood One.
We've got Joe calling in from Elgin.
I just want to say that you are so underrated. You're fantastic. You really are. You've got a great opinion. I would listen to you all day.
Breaking down the latest on the Bears and news from around the NFL.
When will the Bears give Allen Robinson his contract extension?
It's a puzzle to me. I don't understand why it hasn't happened yet.
Hub Arkish.
I'd love to poke you. I'm not going to now.
With Dan Bernstein on 670 The Score. The Score.
Hub Arkish is brought to you by Toro Snowblowers. For grizzly winters, you need a Toro Power Max snowblower. It's a beast on snow. Act now. Get up to $100 off on select Toro Power Max snowblowers. See your Toro retailer now. Win winter with a Toro. Hub Arkish is on Twitter at Hub_Arkish. He of Pro Football Weekly, Shaw Media, the Bears pre and post, our senior Bears and NFL expert. And he is visible as well on Twitch. That is twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Hello, Hub.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Good. So what's your headline here? I mean, it seems very simple that after Matt Nagy 10 days ago said, we got to get the details right, the freaking details. We're not a detailed football team on offense. He set the bar. It wasn't just the nattering nabobs of negativity. It was Nagy himself talking about details, and they're still not there. So I hope he understands why we see this defense, we see how good the team could be, and we wonder why it can't all click.
You know, when you say what's the headline, I wish I had an answer, because everything you just said is true and fair and concerning, and yet they're 5-1, and they have the second best record in the NFL, and the teams that scare me when they have to meet them, based on the way the Bears are playing, most of them aren't playing any better than the Bears are. And so I'm trying to figure out what the NFL is right now. It's really strange, because I do 2 hours of post game yesterday, and I don't think there was one single call to say they were happy, and they're 5-1. You know, and nobody had them at 5-1. And it's not, they're not 5-1 just because they've been lucky. That's not true. I mean, there are, the defense is obviously getting better every week. It you know, was excellent in the second half against Tampa. It was dominant against Carolina. It won the football game for them. The offense frustrates the hell out of us. And yet, you can't go too hard on it while they're winning. I think what everybody's prepared for is the pending 3 or 4 game losing streak. And yet it's not happening, you know, and so I think we just kind of keep going a step at a time and try and find some enjoyment in this while we justifiably are concerned about this offense.
Well, how do we do that then? Because if we're holding the team to a championship standard, and this is a championship-level defense, this is a terrific defense with star players at every level of the defense. What's our roadmap to enjoying this? Is it just listening to Nick Foles and having, you know, enjoying the process? Because they can't block anybody.
You know, Dan, I sat there at the computer screen last night, right? And I'm looking for that answer, you know, and I enjoy the hell out of watching the defense. You know, I mean, the pressure is there now. The secondary is outstanding. We knew it would be. Kyle Fuller is playing at such a high level. It's really impressive. You know, it was great to see the tight end, the rookie, get his first touchdown yesterday. Another catch, you know, about 20 minutes later, then frustrating to see him disappear. I guess the headline for me is that the offensive line is bad and I don't know how to fix it, because I'm not sure that the rest of the offense around it would be that bad if it got better offensive line play, you know. And while they've been pretty healthy, pretty lucky health-wise, you know, losing Tariq Cohen is big. James Daniels certainly had the highest ceiling of all their offensive linemen. I don't know that he was playing the best. So that's a really big loss, because it is clearly the Achilles heel of this team right now. And that I'm not sure what you do about it. I am puzzled as to why Rashad Coward got the start yesterday over Alex Bars. Because to me, the line is something that you do have to fix. And I'm not suggesting, hey, Alex Bars is the end-all, he's the answer. But he was the backup guard. Coward hadn't taken a snap anywhere but right tackle since training camp opened. And yet Daniels went down and he slid them in there. So are they telling us that not only is the starting group, you know, not good enough, but the people behind them, we don't even want to put them on the field? That's kind of scary. And yet, you know, here I go negative, and I'm trying not to, because they're a 5-1 football team.
Yeah, it's amazing, but we got to be honest about what happens during these games, because we watch and the Bears are 5-1 and in first place and on a playoff trajectory with an opportunity to win the Super Bowl, and yet all of our phones are exploding with our friends and family who are asking the same questions about the Bears. What the hell is going on out there? Why are they doing this? Why are they taking a delay of game after a timeout? Why do they have so many penalties? Why do they only have 13 rushing yards at half against the 25th ranked rushing defense? And so many of these answers, it sounds sort of pat to say, but it really is about the offensive line, and you can't fix an offensive line in the middle of a season, can you?
I don't know how. You know, I mean, the trade deadline's a couple weeks away, but I don't know of any obvious, or I shouldn't say obvious, but any clear upgrades that are going to be sitting there on the trade market. I think everybody is a little frozen right now in the knowledge that salary cap for the first time in 11 years is going down 10% next year. They're going to lose $20 million in cap space. So, you know, unless you think that you are absolutely a team with a shot at a Lombardi trophy, and you're willing to, you know, throw caution to the wind to try and make it happen this year, you're going to be real careful in any moves you make. So they're in a tough spot. They can get better. And you know, the reality is that even now, 6 weeks in, the loss of an offseason, an exhibition season, had some impact. It may still be having some catching up impact, although I do think that at this point, after six games, most of these teams are who they appear to be to us. You know, somebody will get hotter. Beyond that, you have to keep going back to the question, is the offensive line this bad because there's just no talent, or because they're not being put in positions to succeed? And so you have to hope that there continue to be some coaching and scheming. It's more scheming fixes than coaching fixes at this point. Because when I look at the players individually, they're not the worst I've ever seen at these positions. I mean, Cody Whitehair isn't playing terribly, and he can be a good center. I think he'd be a better guard, but he can be a good center. I don't think Bobby Massey has played horribly. I mean, you know, Jermaine Ifedi against the run, you know, does some things every once in a while, but he's not very consistent. The left side, unfortunately, is just a mess right now, you know, and so you know, maybe they can scheme them differently. I do know, I'm convinced now, and I started writing about it 2 weeks ago, and I don't hear a lot of other people talking about it. I do believe that the amount of 12 and 13 personnel that they're playing to try and fix the problems with the offensive line in the run game is hampering them in the passing game as well. I don't think they're getting the combinations of targets out there that they want to or need to you know, really unleash Foles in this offense. And listen, Nick Foles hasn't played particularly well. We can't, you know, just ignore that and blame it on everything else. He is still remarkably inaccurate more often than not on third down throws. There's other times when he's not so bad. So everybody has to get better. But this is where I will go with Foles afterwards. And, you know, he said it. He said they can get better. We should be excited. They're still approaching their ceiling. So I do think that we have to find ways to enjoy the 5-1 part of it and the fact that they're, you know, at the top of the conference right now. There were, you know, Dan, there were two questions over the weekend and two answers that fascinated me. One was in New York, where Adam Gase was asked how he felt about the not-so-veiled shot defensive coordinator Greg Williams took at him, and his answer was pretty clear. He said, "I didn't feel very good about it." And then there was Matt Nagy asked about what happened on that timeout, or that delay coming out of the timeout, and he kind of stuttered for a minute and said, "Must have been the crowd noise." I think we're going to get an answer to that one at noon today when we talk to Matt, or at least we're going to get a different answer. And then we start to get our arms around it. His game management at this point, I cannot believe still that he threw that ball on third down with a minute 47 left in the game and the Panthers sitting on one timeout. And yet he keeps doing it every week. So he must just have a different theory, of clock management than what I've kind of been taught over the years. And by the way, you know, he's won all the games that he's blown those decisions in. So in my mind that he's blown those decisions in. So maybe he's right and I'm wrong. I don't know. But it sure defies conventional football wisdom.
When you say you think Cody Whitehair still might be a better guard than center, is that a possibility for right now? Because you have Sam Mustipher, who's nominally the backup center, and I don't know what else you might do. I don't think they would move him, but might you be better off with a replacement-level center and a better left guard?
Well, you didn't get much out of Rashad Coward yesterday. And again, in fairness to the kid, he hasn't taken any snaps at guard until last week. So I suppose if you think he's your guy, you give him one more week. Then you got to take a look at Alex Bars before you start moving people around. He was plugged in as your backup guard, you know, for the first 6 weeks of the season. But if you don't believe either of those two guys can get the job done, you got to keep trying because what they're doing isn't working. And actually, when I say keep trying, they haven't moved anybody yet except for Rashad Coward from backup right tackle to starting left guard. But I don't know how you don't continue to try and improve that situation because it is clearly hampering everything you're trying to do on the offensive side of the ball. And let's go back to where you started. This defense can go a long way. And all you need is a competent offense. You know, you don't need to be the Kansas City Chiefs to really be competitive, getting back to what I said about the rest of the NFL and the rest of the NFC. I mean, I'm thinking, okay, well, now we're going to see what the real problem is when they go to Los Angeles next Monday night. And then the Rams go out last night and look, you know, meek against a struggling 49er team. And so, you know, as frustrated as we are with the Bears, I'm beginning to think that we're underrating their position in the NFC right now a little bit.
Well, that's all the more reason why in your previous comments, when you said you talked about a trade deadline and you talked about the cap and everything, and if you think your team is in a position to maximize a potential championship run, we may be talking about the Bears like that. I mean, they may be the team you're discussing, whether, you know, it feels that way or not, just relative to everybody else. Maybe they're a go-for-it team.
And so, Dan, here's my biggest frustration of the last couple of weeks. I don't know what Snacks Harrison has left. I think the defense is getting better each week, and maybe they didn't need him, but clearly the soft spot is still against the run in the middle there. And yet the Bears sat on their hands when Harrison dropped a few hints, you know, at least, you know, come and you know, date me or something. And now he's in Seattle sitting on the practice squad. There is no...
I think we may have lost our feed with Hub Arkish. We will try to get him hooked back up and get his thoughts on the Bears' pursuit potentially of whether it's Snacks Harrison or anyone else that may fit on a, if they think they're on schedule to potentially win a title. And if you're Ryan Pace, okay, we got Hub back right now. Your line faded out for a second there. So you were talking about Snacks Harrison and that pursuit when you faded out.
Well, and then what I went to next is there's no better example of what Matt Nagy wants his offense to be than the Kansas City Chiefs. They traded up to take Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the draft. He had that bust-out first game of the season, hasn't done much. So they, of all people, go get Le'Veon Bell. And again, I don't know what Bell's got left, you know, and I'm not saying the Bears, you know, should be the team to do it, but they're not making these moves that would suggest they do believe that they're in that position. Now, you know, maybe with the offensive line, they'll feel differently. So, they brought in Lamar Miller, and he's still sitting on the practice squad. That ACL surgery was 14 months ago. You know, he's probably as healed as he's going to be. Was the fact that he's here the reason they didn't want to try Le'Veon Bell, too? It could be. There's explanations for this stuff. But there have been those couple moves that fit what we're talking about here. A team that goes for it makes those moves. Obviously, Kansas City and Seattle are going for it. And yet the Bears didn't. So now let's see if maybe with the offensive line they do, because they think that they can be like the Chiefs or the Seahawks.
We're talking with Hub Arkush on Sports Radio 670, the score, as we do on our Bears Mondays, just trying to get a read on who the Bears are. And you talk, the defense is obviously great. We're going to talk at length about that. But how about the special teams, too? How about the coverage units? How about Pat O'Donnell being a weapon and really being the start of their defensive success? When we're getting fair catches at the 10, it makes for a long field and a lot of things that have to happen for some of these offenses that just try to sort of efficiency the ball down the field. And it's hard to do against this Bears defense. And do you think they may have found a kicker, or is that just temporary? We just sort of celebrate it being okay enough.
Well, I think let's ride the hot streak. I mean, you know, we can't forget that the crazy place kicker image is real. That's been developed over the years. And, you know, these guys, they kind of come and go. You know, you rarely find a Steven Goskowski, who, by the way, is having his own struggles now, or a Matt Prater, you know, these guys. I think Santos is in a groove right now, so you certainly stay with that. You know, you give Eddie Pinheiro time to heal. But I think, to your point, the special teams, other than the still occasionally silly penalty, you know, the special teams are playing very well right now. And we knew, when you look at what they did during the offseason, some of the players they brought in, they really upgraded the athleticism there. They already had the return ability. Cordarrelle Patterson is the best special teams player in the NFL. So, yeah.
We're going to take a brief timeout. We're going to come back, and I want to talk about how we define pass interference, because it's immensely frustrating to not exactly know what we're watching or what's going to get called. And I know that has been a theme in the NFL, but when you do have physical corners like the Bears have, who have been tested and who have not shied away from that kind of contact, it gets really frustrating when you see some of these ticky-tack flags fly. We'll talk about that and more with Hub when we come back on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Bridgewater throws on first down, and this is picked off on the deflection and taken into the end zone for a touchdown by Eddie Jackson, but there is a flag.
Looks so like we will Kyle check Fuller in came in a little early.
Referee Adrian Hill. Remember, it was Eddie Jackson who knocked the ball away from Davis.
Before the change of possession, pass interference, defense, number 23. Ball will be placed at the spot of the foul. Automatic first
some of the Bears are saying the ball was tipped.
Well, I don't know. Let's see. All I know is that Kyle Fuller read this route so beautifully. He just got there too early. But he sees it. He squats. He goes. And you can tell clearly over the back. He's not even going to argue. He knows he was there too early.
It might have been tipped, but then they never showed the replay of the actual person who might have been responsible for tipping it. That's courtesy Fox. Another frustrating day of officiating for Bears fans and probably for Panthers fans as well. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Glenview Luxury Imports. The North Shore's newest Alfa Romeo and Maserati dealership has arrived. Visit gliglenview.com. They've got it. Usually on Bears Mondays at this time, we're talking to Patrick Manley, but we've inverted our guest order today with Hub Arkish on now. Patrick Manley is going to join us for the 11 o'clock hour. And Hub, do you agree that I thought that they never showed us where the tip actually might have been? They showed us Khalil Mack. I thought it was Nichols that might have gotten a hand on that pass.
Dan, you're absolutely right. It was so frustrating because what you could see, I rewound it about six times, and what you can see is, no, Khalil clearly doesn't get the ball. But then you see, and from the angle that they showed, it was behind Nichols' hand. So you couldn't see the ball as it went by. But the ball has a really nice tight spin as it approaches his hand, and it's wobbling after it goes past his hand. That said, you know, I didn't see any clear evidence, but they certainly could have. There were other angles that might have shown it. It doesn't matter because pass interference is no longer reviewable. So it wouldn't, you know, there's nothing would have changed. He did get there a hair earlier, but you can't look at that anymore. So they couldn't have challenged it.
And the phantom call on Jalen Johnson, too, who for a young man being thrust into this NFL season, being asked to do what he's doing, I think is really playing some pretty special football at a high level right now. I didn't see interference on his play either.
Well, that one, they did show the angles, and it clearly was not interference. What happened is, I think that was Moore. I can't remember if it was Moore or Anderson, but I think it was Moore. He sticks his arm down and gets it in between Johnson's arm and his body, but he never arm barred it. He didn't really even make contact. It was just a bad call. And the fact that two officials made it, you know, I'm not sure they know what pass interference is anymore. But Dan, of all the calls yesterday, the one that drove me the craziest, Kyle Fuller understands how to play heads up football. He is doing it right. He's doing it the way they're teaching it. There is no way that was a penalty. On the one that they called him on the illegal hit to the head. And, you know, when you're doing it right and you're still getting flagged for it, that's when the game, you know, itself, the credibility, it really starts to get in trouble.
I had a thought about Fuller watching him yesterday that I'm going to flesh out in the next segment because he's doing some things that I've never seen Chicago Bears cornerbacks do ever right now. I want to look at that with a little bit of a historical perspective. And meanwhile, a position for which the Bears have been famous for a long time is inside linebacker. And Roquan Smith is showing why he was drafted where he was drafted. That play in the fourth quarter when he shed the block and just closed like a heat-seeking missile on the ball, that's the kind of thing that special players do. And as Danny Trevathan's speed and suddenness appear to be on the wane, he looks ready to make up for some of that.
Yeah, I mean, he is definitely a special athlete. That's how you get to be a top 10 pick. And I do think in the case of Trevathan, he has gotten a little better. He doesn't look like the old Danny Trevathan, but he keeps taking these steps here and there. And again, this is where I said by week six, week seven, you would think they're there, but there was no off season, you know. So I'm still not ready to say that they can't be a special pair before the season is over. Again, the defense, you know, took a big step against the Bucs and took a bigger step yesterday. And as well as the Rams had played until last night, their offense doesn't really scare you. And so it's too early to get into what's going to happen next Monday night. But I see this defense continuing to improve each week as I look at the next couple of opponents.
Yeah, as far as Trevathan goes, I thought he took a real big step in zone defense. I thought he had a couple of nice plays where he dissuaded passes by moving quickly in his zone with discipline, one of which he then closed on the ball, ended up tackling the ball carrier the play when Bridgewater took off with the ball because he couldn't pass it, had to run, and Trevathan had him the whole way. It's man coverage that worries me. When they get him singled up on somebody, and if I'm coordinating against the Bears, there aren't a lot of weaknesses in this defense, but Trevathan against a guy in space in man is still something I would be trying to do.
Well, the issue, Dan, is he may not be a four-down or three-down linebacker anymore, whatever you want to call it. And that's an incredible luxury the Bears have had in that when they go to their nickel package, they're one of the only teams in the league. The Bucs are another one when you see Devin White, Levante David, but there's only a handful of teams that have two linebackers that can stay on the field. So you can literally make adjustments without changing personnel grouping sometimes, depending on what you see at the line of scrimmage. So you may have to start to lose some of that luxury in more obvious nickel situations. But he definitely is getting a little bit better. He's playing the run better, which was one of my big concerns. So, we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks.
Do you think Darnell Mooney is ready for a starter-level workload?
He looks the part. He makes plays. He's as smooth as can be because you don't really notice anything special or unique that he's doing, and yet he is getting available. I still think everybody's writing Anthony Miller off too soon. I realize he's been somewhat inconsistent. That play yesterday where he went backwards, what people need to realize is that route didn't get to the first down marker. That was third and four and a half or five, and they ran a three-round route. And so, if he doesn't go backwards, maybe he gets it. I'm not even sure that that's a mistake on his part. That's something the coaches would have to determine and tell us. So, I think between Mooney and Miller, you probably have a number two and a number three there. I just don't think that both of them with Allen Robinson are getting on the field enough to start to open up that passing game. And that's because, again, of the amount of, 12 and 13 personnel that they're playing.
Before we let you go, I want to broaden this to talk about some of the NFL goings-on that we saw elsewhere yesterday. There's a couple of former Bears coaches who are in the news. First of all, Adam Gase is still employed in whatever this sitcom is that is masquerading as Jets football. And when he's already openly feuding with Greg Williams in the press, how much longer can that be sustained?
Well, you would think not long, particularly in New York and in that media market. And yet he is obviously Chris Johnson's guy. He was allowed to be involved in the selection of Joe Douglas as the general manager. Douglas and Gase are kind of a unit in the way that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are. But they are clearly the worst team in football. They weren't when he got there. They're going in the wrong direction. He was hired immediately after being a huge failure in Miami. And so none of it really makes any sense. And he's got such a difficult personality that he's going to continue to alienate players and coaches alike. So, to me, it's kind of a week-to-week watch, but if the Jets pull the plug, then, maybe if you're at the bottom already, it doesn't matter if you have to start over again. They've got to eat some money on that contract. I know that. They probably wouldn't be thrilled with that, but you almost wonder if Johnson isn't sure how good he feels about Douglas as his GM if he pulls the plug on Gase.
And how big a win was it for Vic Fangio in Denver over the Patriots?
Vic Fangio is a good coach. I knew, we all knew he was a defensive genius. There were questions because he's got such a great personality as to what kind of head coach he would be. Would he take it seriously enough? Would he be too close to the players? He's doing a really nice job with that football team. When you look at the injuries that they've had and for him to still be competitive and go on the road and beat the Patriots, I think that was a huge win for him. But Vic certainly wasn't in any trouble. I mean, Elway played the game. He understands the toll that these injuries have taken on their ability to do any of the things they want to do from a coaching and a schematic point of view.
As we let you go, what are the key questions for Matt Nagy today? You mentioned the comment about the crowd noise, obviously, that was tongue-in-cheek. But what else is on your agenda?
Well, the best I can come up with at this point, Dan, is that this is as much a scheme issue as it is a personnel issue. And I actually asked him about this business of the multiple tight ends getting in the way of everything you want to do last week. And he didn't answer the question. He actually chose to answer a different question. So I'm going to ask it again. And at this point, I kind of agree with where he was at in the post game yesterday. As frustrating as it is, you can't, what are you going to tell the players? You keep winning and you stink? And so maybe some questions about how he continues to handle that. I, I'll ask the game management question again, but I know what the answer is going to be. So, we'll go from there and hope that it continues to work for him.
Yes, I think David Haugh made a really good point in transition this morning. The duality of Nagy's nature right now. Nagy, the head coach, has to keep doing what he's doing. They're 5-1. And he's got a terrific record as Bears head coach. And it is his job to keep that going, which is completely separate, a different channel from his job as the leader of this dysfunctional offense that has to confront what it can't do. And those are different things. So I guess it depends to whom you're asking some of these questions.
Yeah, I mean, Dan, my answer is obvious, I think, in that, and I think you try and put it in a positive light. Matt, you are doing such a great job as a head coach. It's getting in the way of your ability to do your job as the offensive coordinator. Give the offense to your offensive coordinator for a couple of weeks and see what happens. It isn't going to get much worse. It isn't going to set you back. Again, we know he isn't going to do it. But I'm not talking about play calling, by the way. I'm saying just take a step back and let your offensive staff run the offense, let them do the game plan. If you have to, maybe you could even still call plays on Sunday, although I'd probably try and give up the whole thing for a week or two. But it would be if he was the GM and not the head coach, that's what he would be trying to get his head coach to do. And so I think he probably needs to take a step back and realize that at least in season, without big personnel changes coming, it may be the last option that's open to him.
Hub Arkish, thank you as always. Appreciate it.
All right, Dan. Take care.
That is Hub. And this segment is brought to you by DEA Take Back Day, October 24th, DEATakeBack.com. When we come back, I realized something about what Kyle Fuller is doing, and I have a question for you, the longtime Bears fan. I want to put this out there because I've been a fan now for, I've been cognizant of my Bears fandom for, 46 years, probably? And Kyle Fuller is doing something I don't think I've seen before. Maybe you can correct me. Maybe my memory is faulty, and maybe you go back further than I do. But we're going to talk about that next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Second and 10, football at the 27-yard line of the Bears. Motion man Robbie Anderson from right to left. Here's Bridgewater. Gets by Mack, now going to throw, cross, caught at the numbers, and a penalty flag.
So they're going to call it again.
Excuse me, Fuller popped the receiver, Kirkwood, and it was just a shoulder into him, but deep inside the 10-yard line, and they'll check the flag. 10-3 Bears have the lead, 4:30 to go, first half.
The referees are garbage because you get a play that you're trying to protect yourself as a tackler. You hit him exactly how you're described in the instructional film at the start of camp, and then you get two calls against you the last two times that you're challenged with making tackles according to your responsibility.
Oh, Tom Thayer, that's on WBBM. The referee officials are garbage. The referees are garbage. Go get them, man. I agree. That was horrible. It was like the one they eventually picked up last week where they just did like, oh, that was too awesome. That has to be a penalty. It was one of the great hits in Bears history last week, and he did it again. It wasn't as important. It wasn't as significant because it didn't cause a fumble that helped change the game. That dude is bawling the hell out right now. That is a Pro Bowl player right now. What he did in space against Bridgewater at the goal line, what he is doing to people, I, in my life, do not remember a Bears cornerback playing this physically ever. Full stop. And you can get out your list and you can give me every name. And you're going to have to precede my era as a Bears fan. Like, the first really good corner I remember was Alan Ellis. And Alan Ellis picked off a bunch of passes, and he was a good player on those, Doug Buffon defenses. There was Lenny Walterscheid and Jerry Muckensturm. But, man, this dude, say what you want about Charles Tillman. Charles Tillman was probably the best Bears cornerback. And his numbers as far as interceptions and forced fumbles and the famous peanut punch and his reliability tremendous. We always talk about Bears safeties with big hits, and that list is a long one, and that is all the way through Fensick and Plank and Bell and Duerson and Brown and anybody you want to remember there, going back to Richie Pettibone. But man, I don't remember a corner doing what he does physically in a Bears uniform ever. Correct me if I'm wrong. And maybe you just go back further than I do, and maybe there was somebody, but especially now. And they keep flagging him for being awesome. And that's all they're doing. That was shoulder to shoulder. That was perfect chef's kiss. Physical football. Timed up just right. And I'm like, oh, that's a flag. It was too awesome. At least they had the common decency to pick it up last week, because they realized after looking at it again, I think he's allowed to do that. What, hit somebody? Coil up like a cobra and spring on a guy like that? God, that's satisfying. And to have it flagged, I'm so glad that Tom Thayer was that mad. That's the first time I've heard it. And I'm really pleased that he's reflecting my dissatisfaction, because Kyle Fuller is doing work. The whole secondary is. You had Gibson involved. Eddie Jackson keeps having pick sixes taken away from him. I think that ball was tipped. If you were listening before, Hub described exactly what the video shows of Bilal Nichols. Of that, you see where his hand is, where the ball goes. And it would have to be a unique coincidence for it not to have been causal, that the moment the ball passes where you can see his hand is, you see the spin change. That's a tipped ball. That means that Fuller is allowed to get there early because of the tip. All bets are off in that regard regarding PI once that happens, and that's a touchdown. But they didn't call it right. Stop flagging Kyle Fuller for being awesome. It's not fair. The 708 says, I won't say he was better, but Donnell Wolford was a really good all-around. Yeah, Donnell Wolford was a terrific cornerback and a fun guy to be around, too. Nice guy. One thing Wolford always did that I love, he did the run the route with the receiver and make the interception while diving backward and landing on his back. That when he's in the guy's pocket, instead of just trying to snatch the ball away, he was great at turning his head and making that leap with the receiver. The 847 says R.W. McQuarters had some big hits. Yeah, I mean, he was okay. More of a, you know, remember him as an exciting return man, too. And the fact that he played with a pierced tongue, which I always found like an odd call for a football player. I think it would probably be more trouble than it's worth. But, man, not like this. Got to give Phil Emery credit. That we thought this guy was completely overdrafted, and we clobbered Phil Emery for this. But Kyle Fuller just is laying the wood to people. You know, during the peak of his career, Mark Carrier would come up and close on guys from the secondary and make those hits that would just resonate. But again, he's not a corner. It's just rare to see somebody, and it may be a product of some of the zone coverages, of being able to be in a position to help out. And now I guess it's just now naming quarterbacks you remember. 708, Leslie Frazier wasn't bad. I didn't say he was bad. That's not my point. I'm not talking about... Okay, now it's, I'm a Bears fan, here's a name of a cornerback. What about Terry Schmidt? We haven't seen it from a corner. And he's sometimes you get a corner who is willing to play physically, willing to rally up and make a play, like the opposite of sort of a Marcus Peters or a Deion Sanders, where you get somebody who has a dancer's feet and a sprinter's quickness, but isn't really all that interesting, can cover a guy and stay on a guy and knock a ball away. But Fuller plays with a menace that is rare for that position. It's one thing to be a ball hawk. It's another thing to have a corner who is ready to take your damn head off. And legally so. And just some of these flags. Allen Robinson got decapitated on the goal line before the ball got there. And it could have been two penalties. Or pick your poison. It could have been defensive pass interference and or illegal contact to the head. And they get neither.
The referees are garbage.
I love that. That's not pulling any punches. And it always, the thing about Tom Thayer is everything sounds nice when he says it because he's Tom Thayer. So his sort of resting voice and speech pattern just sounds nice. So it's really cool when he comes at it that hard.
The referees are garbage.
Yeah, we need free Kyle Fuller. Seriously, free Kyle Fuller. The 630 says, I feel like Fuller's better than Peanut. Peanut was better creating fumbles. No, he's not yet better than Charles Tillman. Charles Tillman is borderline Hall of Fame, and he may be one of the best cover two corners at playing that particular position in Lovie Smith's defense. The reasonable Charles Tillman Hall of Fame case, if I were arguing, he played the position he played. He did his responsibilities, what he was asked to do in the defense, better or as well as anyone ever. That's the Hall of Fame case. It's very similar to Brian Urlacher when you look at his numbers and argue what he did as a cover two Mike linebacker. Charles Tillman is one of the best cover two corners who's ever done it. And that is a simple fact. And it's hard to stack him up against island-type corners or corners asked to do things in different defensive schemes. So there is he may not be a Hall of Famer, but I think given the opportunity and explaining exactly what he was asked to do, I don't think anyone's done it better. But so he's a better player all around than Kyle Fuller. Still has an opportunity to cement himself if he doesn't end up hurting himself with some of these hits. But this, we haven't seen anything like this before. Use these videos of Fuller to teach people how to do it and to teach these dumbass refs in real time what to watch for. And it's like there's an impact. I say, well, that's got to be a penalty. I got to throw this. Talk about it. Get other sets of eyes on it. And here's the other thing. Be ready for it. That's what gets me, is if you know he's going to do it. Good referees have an idea for the kind of difficult calls they may have. Whoever is officiating Bears games, be ready for this, because he's going to do it again. Get it right, because he's doing
the referees are garbage.
Everything asked of him on these plays, everything you're supposed to do, he is doing. And he is the most physical cornerback I have ever seen in a Chicago Bears uniform. And it is damn fun. And don't take it away from me by telling me that it's not allowed because it just looks too cool. That's the perfect segue to Patrick Manley, who's going to join us next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.